Thank you. Okay, so today I'm going to give a brief introduction to farm animal transport and also animal welfare, because we come from a broad variety of backgrounds, so I thought it would be nice to have a common starting point to then introduce my research on cull sows. For those of you who don't know what I mean when I'm talking about cull sows, I'll get into that, so don't worry. And then some critical questions. And actually, I'm really happy to be here because this isn't my usual audience. So I'm looking forward to some critical discussion afterwards. So my first encounter with farm animal transport was in 2010, when I saw this truck, and three questions came into my mind. So where did they come from? Where are they going? And most importantly for me, what do they experience? And animal transport looks like a lot of things. So here we have some chickens being transported to slaughter and some cows as well. Sheep being transported by ship, a panda being transported to a zoo, and Olympic horses being transported by plane. And why transport matters? I mean, in their lifetime, commercial farm animals will need to be transported at some point, and that equates to billions, millions of animals. And the Food and Agriculture Organization, the latest statistics for 196 countries for long-distance transport, I estimated that the total is over 150 million. So that's a lot of animals. And this excludes animals being transported within countries. And in Denmark, where I'm based, so live animal imports are quite small, so it's just over 11,000. But live animal exports is over 13 million. And to put that in perspective with the human population of Denmark, which is just over 5 million, that's about double the human population of Denmark are being exported annually. And globally, about 18% of global animal exports are pigs from Denmark. So that's a lot of pigs. And here was originally actually a picture of the world and then Denmark, which you can see is very small. But here we just have a very small Denmark, but Denmark is very small. And so with that in mind, I wanted to draw your attention to this European Parliament opinion from last year, which deplored the poor implementation of the Protection of Animals During Transport, this regulation, leading to persistent severe animal welfare problems during transport. And it said, transport is one of the most sensitive moments in the life of an animal, which is very, very strong words there. And finally, it went on to say that transported animals must be subject to the highest and strictest legal protection. So here is where science comes in and where my field comes in my opinion, because we need information and evidence with what's going on during transport. And so for me, I see science as a tool, and I think it's a good tool, to understand an animal's point of view. And that brings me on to animal welfare and animal welfare science. So I want to start with one of my favorite quotes by one of the pioneers of animal welfare science. Let us not mince words. Animal welfare involves the subjective feelings of animals. And here, I'm not gonna go into discussion about what animals have feelings or whether animals have feelings. I'm taking it as a given that animals, including ourselves, have species-specific feelings and perceptions. And in the field, we're dealing with concepts like this. Suffering, stress, distress, pain, and discomfort. And I probably don't need to convince you that it's very complex studying these things in animals. And it's not neutral either. Because any conception of animal welfare inherently involves values because it pertains to what is better or worse for animals. Because animal welfare science is at the intersection of societal concerns and ethics, and also science and biology. But the premise that animal welfare scientists will agree on is that essentially animal welfare is about an animal's state in the short term and quality of life in the longer term, and that that is quantifiable. And tools that we have to measure these things include behavior and physiology. And some of the things that researchers have identified as sources of stress during this pre-slaughter period are feed and water withdrawal, fatigue and physical exertion, social stress, so there's a lot of aggression between unfamiliar animals when they're first mixed together in these confined spaces, novelty, handling, thermal discomfort, so I'm thinking about pigs here with an inability to thermoregulate, but that would also apply to species like fish, and motion sickness, noise, darkness, light, flooring, etc. And this is just to highlight the typical productive life of a farm animal, and you can see that transport might happen earlier on in their life, but I'm focusing on here, on the end of life. And logistically, this looks something like this. So the animals will leave their home pen, be put in a stationary pickup facility in Denmark. So this is for biosecurity, so that the animals can be picked up outside of the farm, so that the truck doesn't have to come into the farm. Then they'll be loaded onto a transport truck. Then there's the journey itself, waiting in the truck at the slaughterhouse, and then they'll be unloaded, put into lairage. So that's just the pens that they're waiting to be put in, into the slaughter line, and then put into the slaughter line and then slaughtered. And the time intervals between these different stages can vary enormously. So if it's long distance transport, it can be days, or it can just be a few hours. And I also wanted to illustrate that the actual transport journey is just one part of this logistical chain. On to sows and calf sows, in case you're wondering what I was talking about. So this is the female breeding pig. This is a typical breeding cycle, and I'm interested in when the farmer no longer wants her. So she's not a productive breeding animal anymore. She's then a cull sow. And some reasons for the farmer displacing her are reproductive issues, locomotive problems, and other production factors. And in Denmark, we have about 500,000 cull sows per year, but worldwide, the rate of replacing, so killing on farm or sending to slaughter, is about 50% of the herd each year. So this is millions of animals worldwide. And importantly, cull sows are very different to slaughter pigs that are younger and designed to be more uniform animals, but cull sows are different parities, so the number of times she's given birth to a litter, a mixture of lactating and non-lactating animals, and they're different sizes, different ages, and they have a different clinical status. So they're a very different group of animals. And when it comes to transport, it seems that they're more vulnerable in terms of mortality and fatigue, which brings me on to my PhD research, which is essentially asking this question: what does a de-slaughter phase mean for a cull sow, and what does this look like? And I want to do this in three ways, but I'm going to focus primarily on the transport journey, which is the experimental study that I'm collecting data for right now. But in the future, I also would like to do an observational study of what they do when they arrive at the slaughterhouse, and also some qualitative work with some of the human professional groups involved in this pre-slaughter chain. So the transport journey. So this is a recently taken photograph of what the inside of one of these commercial trucks looks like, and I had never seen one until I started my PhD. But really excitingly in this project, we have cameras inside, so we can see what's going on during the journey. And this is what one of these trucks will look like on the outside, and you can see there are different layers, and this is the truck waiting for the sows to be loaded in the middle of nowhere in Denmark. But this study is commercial sows from commercial farms and commercial trucks to try and mirror real life as much as possible. And here are some sows being loaded. And the basic experimental setup looks something like this. So we'll start on farm, and then we do a clinical examination of the sows, and I'll get into that a bit later. And then they'll be put into this pickup vehicle and loaded. And then we have these three experimental treatments for the journey. So we have a 4-hour, 6-hour, and 8-hour journey. And the 8-hour journey is the legal maximum that sows are allowed to be transported in Denmark. And this plus and minus break is because drivers after 4.5 hours are legally obliged to take a 45-minute break. But the drivers themselves have reported that they think this is bad for sow welfare because they start fighting. So we're investigating that. And then after this journey, the sows will arrive at the slaughterhouse, be unloaded, and then we'll do the same clinical exam again. So we have a before and after comparison of what the effects of this journey is. And then lairage at the slaughterhouse, and then they'll be slaughtered. But we're collecting this data all year, so we have temperatures from minus 2 to 33 degrees, because we also want to see the effects of temperature. And this clinical exam, so as I described, the cortical cells are very different from one another. We have one-off measures that's just to say something about the baseline state of the cell, so things like body condition and lactation. So we're not expecting these things to change before and after transport. But we're also including measures that we do expect to change quite dramatically sometimes before and after transport, such as skin lesions, which is what these two photographs are, and lameness, which is just a score of how they're walking. And the behavior, so these are screenshots of the video from inside the truck. Things I'm looking at are aggression, whether they're active, so whether they're on all fours, basically, whether they're lying, the direction that they're traveling in, and anything else. And sadly, I don't have results yet because I'm in the middle of watching these videos, but from what I've seen so far, they're very active throughout the whole journey, and there's quite a lot of aggression going on throughout the journey as well. And then secondly, very briefly, arrival at the slaughterhouse. So again, this is just a photograph to show you what a commercial sow slaughterhouse looks like inside. So in these lairage pens, they can wait for 1 hour up to overnight. So I basically wanted to see what are they doing, because no one knows. And things I want to look at, probably, but this might change, include aggression and signs of fatigue and heat stress, which sows are known to be particularly vulnerable for. And then lastly, humans. Humans are animals, and I like that we, in our talks, so I'm the non-human animal. When I'm saying animal and human, you know what I mean. So within this pre-slaughter chain, there'll be these five groups involved, which is a lot of different groups involved in this end-of-life period, including farmers, animal transport drivers, law enforcement, slaughterhouse vets, and slaughterhouse workers. And my PhD is part of a wider study that has already looked at the experiences and perspectives of farmers and animal transport drivers, so I would be really interested to do some qualitative work on one of these groups. And then come the critical questions, which I put as for me and for you to think about. Something I think about a lot, so if I'm trying to make claims about animal experience from their point of view, are the measures that we're using biologically meaningful for the animal? So am I measuring what I think I'm measuring? And can I make the kind of claims that I think I can? And that's what I mean by what you get is what you measure. And also, because I myself as well have come from a variety of different disciplines, and I'm now in this one, I think it's super interesting when we're talking about evidence, what actually counts, and different disciplines have different sets of knowledge and different ways of thinking about the same thing. So this is also something I think is very interesting. And I just wanted to acknowledge my supervisors, one of who's here today, and also the university technicians who have been on the road with me, because it's not easy data collection, and also our funders and collaborators. So, thank you.